You know those moments when you're just like not feeling it? What do you do? How do you get through that? Is there any practical advice here to make some progress?
Welcome to Consciously, a podcast focused on honest conversations for regular people seeking spiritual growth. Here's our host, Menachem Poznanski.
Consciously, welcome back. Okay, here we are. It's been a couple weeks. Sorry, but I'm back. Grateful to be here. So I want to talk about what we do when we're just not feeling it. You know, I missed last week because I had the merit of being in Eretz Yisrael in Israel for some really remarkable trip. I was really thankful to see some friends there, to visit and connect with some TLR people. That are living in Israel, which is awesome. And also, I was visiting at the Genesis Treatment Center, which is a program I'm working on, dual substance abuse trauma outpatient inpatient clinic in Jerusalem. And then I also had the opportunity to connect with some yeshivas, speak to some of the leadership of a few yeshivas, particularly around the issues of substance abuse. Unwanted habits. Talk about the new book, Acceptance, a little bit. I had an opportunity to give a couple talks, which was really, really a thrill. I'm really thankful to Shraga, as it's known, and also to Ashrenu, who gave me an opportunity to have voice. Anyway, so I had this whirlwind trip, and it was really, really special, and had an opportunity to be by Tzaddikim and to be in some of the holy places. And then I come home, and you know, just like trying to pick myself up the floor. And I'm so excited at first, obviously, miss my family. But then, you know, as time kind of settles in and the realities of leaving for a week and, you know, life, it's just like, oh, God, you know, I want to run away. But what do I do? What do you do when you're just not feeling it? So before we get there, and luckily I was studying something that kind of gave me insight. So that was good. And maybe I'll try to share that with you. But before we get there, I want to thank you for joining us on the Consciously podcast. Do us a favor if you're new or a procrastinator, subscribe to the podcast, give us 5 stars and review. Most importantly, share us with your friends. I'm really relying on you to get this message to the right people. And you guys are, it's been fantastic. I really appreciate it. The audience is growing and there's been some really good, you know, response. So I really appreciate that. Also, you can check us out on our website, thelightrevealed.org. This podcast is there, and it's all cataloged by series. But you can also find some of the other really awesome stuff that we're doing. Joey Rosenfeld, my friend Ben Shannon, Shmaya Honickman, and Morty. A lot of really good things on YouTube. You can check out our YouTube channel. There's a lot of good stuff there, specifically from Rib Ben, and of course from Rib Joey. So a lot of good things going on. Also the Instagram, at The Light Revealed, the Facebook, at The Light Revealed. And if you want to reach us, you can email us at thelightrevealed@tlrfamily.org. Okay, I think those are all the things. Oh, the books. Acceptance. Acceptance, A Path to Inner Healing. Check it out. It's on Amazon. It's on Mosaica's website. It's in Jewish bookstores. And a little bit of a slow rollout here in the U.S. I'm hoping to up the ante on that. It's a great book, I think. So definitely go check that out. It's if you're wondering what it's for, it's got a lot of good input. I think anybody, you know, anybody's connected to recovery might benefit from reading it. But most importantly, it's really a clear kind of concise description of my understanding of unwanted habits that even specifically that fall beneath the scale of addiction, and then a real path, some real suggestions, some real steps that you can take to try to overcome those and build a life that is more reflective of your ideals. So go check that out. Okay, so how do we manage the kind of regular ups and downs that come along with trying to live as a spiritual person? Like, what do you do when you're just not feeling it? So there's a famous frame from the sixth Torah of Likutei Maharan, which is one that's very close to my heart. It's the foundation stone of the acceptance book, called Baki Beretzua Baki Beshov. Rabbi Nachman references that if a person wants to really be a master of tshuva, wants to be an effective spiritual journeyman, a spiritual journeyman of perpetual growth, they have to become expert at running and expert at returning. Baki Beretzua Baki Beshov, based off of a pasuk from Yechezkel, where the angels are described as Ratz Veshav, which is a frame that's oftentimes referenced. It's referenced in the writings of the Nesi'ei Chabad, the Chassidus Chabad, but it's definitely very prominent in Breslov thought, which is Ratz Veshav, right? Baki Beretzua Baki Beshov, an expert at running and an expert at returning. The idea is basically that, you know, whether I'm in a state of running, which is kind of like when things are clicking for me and I'm feeling spiritually tapped in, I can do that effectively without, you know, spinning my wheels too much or overextending or becoming arrogant. And when I'm not feeling it, when I'm feeling like the energy is down, when I'm kind of like come down onto the other side of the polarization of mood and I'm feeling like dejected or burnt out, or full of fear, you know, I can grow in that space. I cannot become overly dejected, or I can learn to turn to God in those moments of despair and use them, leverage them as opportunities for connection. So that's like the basic frame, and that's not so revolutionary and radical, right? If I want to become a person who's capable of sustained growth, I have to both be able to leverage and utilize and succeed both when things are going well and when they're going less obviously well, you know, when my path of spiritual development feels less fluid. So Rabbi Nachman connects that with a pasuk, famously from Tehillim, Ki Esek Shamayim, well, it's a two psukim, Ki Esek Shamayim Shamata Va'atziah Sha'ol Hineka, right? When in the frame of what David HaMelech with King David is saying is, when I'm involved in heavenly matters, Shama'ata, you're over there, right? Va'atziya sha'ol, but when I find myself, when I go out into hell, into darkness, Hineka, you're right with me. And Rabbi Nachman talks about in Torah Vav, this idea, he kind of alludes to this idea, or even explicitly lays it out, that when a person's in a state of Esek b'shamayim, Esek shamayim, when he's involved and he's tapped in, he's feeling in a spirit of spiritual elevation, he needs to always realize that there's a perpetual place of spiritual development. God is always shamata, you're far away. There's always an awareness that there's more to be revealed. So even when I'm feeling great, there's a kind of like a humble acknowledgement that this is just, you know, a leg of the journey, and don't get so wrapped up in yourself. And then on the opposite end, Vatsiya Sha'ol, when a person finds themselves in darkness, Hineka, to realize that God is right there with him. So God is both transcendently far away, right, and disconnected, something, a mark, a goal to move towards, and also something that's utterly present and utterly here in a loving manner. And practically, the way that Rabbi Nachman discusses the capacity to develop a talent to be a Baki Beretzua Baki Beshov has a lot to do with this paradigm that he presents in Torah Vav, which is the separation between Dam and Dom. And it's worthwhile, I think maybe in the next episode I'll talk about this more explicitly, because it's worthwhile to break it down on its own, but really it's a beautiful, beautiful paradigm that separates between the capacity to sit silently in the face of the internal reality that's going on versus, which is Dom, it's silence, right? Because Dom and Dam are the same, sorry, I should have said that. Dom and Dam are the same letters, Dalet Mem. The separation is only in the Nekudos, in the vowels, right? So Dom, which is an O sound, a Cholam, right, means silence. And Dam, which is a Kamatz, right, an A sound, right? So that means blood, right? So there's two possible, Rabbi Nachman explains, he presents to us this kind of two possible approaches to input that are coming at us. One is where we're dome, we're silent, we can stand present with our feelings, we can be silent before God, so to speak, and that allows us to be ostensibly responsive to what's going on, to think about what's going on, to pause, right? It correlates to the idea of a spiritual pause, to pause before actioning and really take it in and be able to sit with uncomfortable feelings and then be responsive to them, versus Dom, which is a much more reactive context, right? Emotions come in and we passionately are reactive to those, right? So the key between being able to develop, the key towards developing a Baki Beritsu, a Baki Beshov, is this capacity to kind of gain the equanimity, the ability to stand as yourself before your creator. Okay, and he says many other things, and that's not the entirety of it. Those are just some of the pieces that I draw from that. Right, that the key is an ability to sit silently with oneself, to face oneself in good and in bad, and that really amounts to a true humility, right? In the world of like spiritual recovery, they talk about humility being not thinking less of yourself, but rather thinking of yourself less. But oftentimes, humility is also described as the capacity to stand, to face yourself fully, the good and the bad, without being overly pretentious or overly ecstatic in either direction, right? So that kind of fits in with what Rabbi Nachman's alluding to over there. There's another frame that came to me that's very much connected to this, but kind of hit me. I was actually sitting, I can be honest with you guys, right? I'll tell you a secret. Anyway, so I was sitting in the Beis Medrash of the Tzaddik Rav Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern, and I was like waiting. I was trying to get in to get a blessing, which thank God I was able to get a bracha. I was sitting and waiting for like mincha time, which is late at night, not when most of us are davening mincha. Anyway, so I had my Tanya with me, and I was looking at Shaar Yichud V'Emuna, specifically at the introduction to Shaar Yichud V'Emuna, Chinuch Katan, and I was just like kind of distract myself because I was so overly anxious about the what I anticipated might happen. Anyway, so I'm sitting there learning Chinuch Katan, and it hit me something very powerful that the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, the author of Tanya, Shner Zalman of Liadi, is laying out a really important principle for life that I think correlates to this topic of specifically, you know, what to do when you're just not feeling it. So in Chinuch Katan, the Alter Rebbe lays out a number of things. He's talking about a number of things, but what he specifically lays out is that there's two fundamental types of love, of love for God. There's the love of the tzaddik, and then there's the love of the everyman. That's the term we'll use, but a beinoni, the regular person, but for all intents and purposes, an everyman. And the love of the tzaddik is a love that's a gift. That's what the Alter Rebbe lays out, that while the tzaddik creates a keli, a vessel, for the ore of this love of God to come into their lives, at the end of the day, the love of the tzaddik, which is like an utter passion that transcends like the normative reality, is not something that tzaddik can grab, so to speak, but rather it's matnas kahuna, it's a gift that he's bestowed. And then there's the love of the everyman, and the love of the everyman is very, very different, because the love of the everyman can be relied upon by every person. It's a love that's logical and linear. It's a direct outcome of spiritual work, right? As a person meditates, for example, it's what the Alter Rebbe lays out, on how God is life itself, then their natural love for life is activated and directed towards God, right? Because in Judaism, God is not like there's God and then the life that God created, but rather God is echad, he's everything, he's utter everythingness, right? So if I love my life, then really there's a part of me that loves God. So as I kind of like reflect on that, then I activate this kind of internal reality of love that's there. And the love that I experience is a direct outcome of the work that I put in. Or, for example, as one meditates in the fact that God came down into the crucible of Egypt, which is the essence of unholiness, in order to drag us out, and not only historically speaking the Jewish people, but historically speaking throughout the history of the Jewish people, but then even in our lives on a personal level, right? For those of us who are trying to live a life of spiritual development, how many times we found ourselves in a space of darkness, and It feels as if God was there for us, was present for us. So as a person meditates on that, right, we start to feel an overwhelming love and appreciation. Okay, so the Alter Rebbe plays out these two types of love. So I was thinking about that, but then something hit me. It dawned on me that really when someone learns Tanya, you start to realize that in the language of the Alter Rebbe, Ahavas Hashem, even though there's like love of God, Ahavas Hashem, and Yira, right, and fear is a vital, it's a vital first step towards establishing, you know, a path of spiritual progress, and it's the other side of the coin of how a person develops. But like love is, the Alter Rebbe, the Tanya is very preoccupied with love of God. And really, in many ways, love of God and spiritual development are synonymous with one another, right? They're all kind of interconnected, right? Love and spiritual illumination are really synonymous in that universe. Love of God represents the foundation of all spiritual development. And as you said, though reverence and compassion are vital components one must leverage and practice, right? And reverence is the foundational mitzvah and is the first step in any individual's process. Love and spiritual development are one and the same. In the experience of love, meaning the degree to which one encounters a sense of love for God within themselves, is really the barometer of one's progress and their current status in spiritual development, right? Meaning, how does a person know where they're holding, or how does a person know where they are at in terms of like in their spiritual growth? And a lot of it has to do with, well, you know, how much is love present? One of the things that's really, you know, beautiful about the Tanya is that the focus, let's say, for example, of like trying to avoid sin, right, is really on advancing one's love, because as one loves God, they start to despise that which God doesn't love, right? So the focus is to build love instead of diminishing a drive towards or fixating on a drive towards unholiness. Okay, so if in the context of Tanya, love and love of God and spiritual development are really kind of synonymous and connected, love being the indicator of spiritual development, love being the key component that we focus on in our process of spiritual development, right? They're really one and the same thing, almost synonymous. What we have veiled within the description that the Alter Rebbe is making over there of the two types of love is really two fundamental categories of spiritual growth, right? So we have spiritual growth that's the everyman spiritual growth, right? One that's we create and foster in a logical manner. We work on it, and there's a direct correlation between the work that we put in and the work that results. And then we have the spiritual growth that correlates to the love of the tzaddik, right? Which is where there's spiritual development, but all that we did is create a keli, create a vessel, and then the spiritual growth, the illumination, kind of comes on its own, so to speak. It's we create the space, and then the light comes in. And the Alter Rebbe, towards the end of that Chinuch Katan, that little essay that opens up Shaar Yichud VeEmunah, which is the second portion of Tanya, where the Alter Rebbe describes what reality is. It's really a remarkable piece of literature. Nonetheless, okay, not to digress. He discusses the pasuk Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. So the passage in Navi says that the tzaddik, the nature of the tzaddik is to fall seven times, right? Which is, there's a lot can be taken from that passage. First of all, the idea that a tzaddik is somebody who's in perpetual growth, that the tzaddik also, so to speak, right, has their ups and their downs, right, in their own way, right? When a person sees their own ups and downs, they shouldn't be overly dejected, because that's just the nature. Even the tzaddik has that. However, what the Alter Rebbe kind of lays out over there in terms of the tzaddik is that the nature, part of what the Navi is describing over there, is that the nature of the love of the tzaddik is one that is in transition. It ebbs and flows, and it retracts to make room for more growth, right? That when we talk about the love of the tzaddik, which we're correlating to a certain portion of spiritual development that occurs that is not linearly connected to the work that's put in, but rather we create a vessel and God comes, so to speak, or spirituality flows in, right? That type of love, right, is one that's in a constant state of transition. It's constantly coming and going, and it goes in order to create space for yet higher levels of illumination. The Sheva Yipol Tzaddik Vakam, that the nature of the spirituality of the Tzaddik, right, and part of the frame that we're talking about here, is that the Tzaddik love is present for everybody, meaning even though there's a person that's a Tzaddik, and that person is existing on a certain plane, but everyone has a part of themselves that's a Tzaddik. Each one of us has a part that correlates to this idea of tzaddik, and the part of us that correlates to the idea of tzaddik, and the part of our spiritual development that correlates to the idea of tzaddik, is when we encounter spiritual development, that we feel that it's that we sense that I got this as a gift. I'm very thankful. I feel like I know. I see that I put in work. I see that I showed up every day. I practiced meditation. I said prayers. I did mitzvos. I spent time reflecting, but the totsa'a, the what occurred in terms of like the level of spiritual illumination in my heart feels somewhat disconnected from the effort that I put in. It seems like I got way more than I put in. So that type of illumination is the illumination of a tzaddik, and that is not stable. It's in constant flux. Right, that's the illumination of the tzaddik. The love, on the other hand, the spiritual development of the everyman, meaning the types of spiritual development that is directly, logically connected to the work that I put in, right, is sustained. It's there. It's not in that state of flux. And based on the passage, which is the whole foundation of that this essay Chinuchatan, right, it's to understand the passage Chanoich Lanar Pidarko Gam Ki Yazkin. Lo Yasser Mimena, right? He talks about the faith of our youth and the fact that it stays with us. So what the Alter Rebbe explains is that the love of the everyman is what holds us in moments of transition, leading us to moments of illumination and inspiration. So what he says is, just to break that down, is that basically there's two internal processes going on within our spiritual development, right? We have one part of us that's in a constant state of flux, very elevated. It's somewhat disconnected or transcends the effort that we put in, but it's not sustained because it's always opening, it is always in a state of retraction in order to create space for new illumination. And then we have another form of spiritual development, which is our anchor, which is directly related to logic and therefore is much more sustained. So when we're in a state of tzaddik-oriented love, when we're in that state of transitional, transitory illumination, it's very elevated, it's very high, but it's unsustained, right? And therefore, there's a measure of unsafety to it. However, when we're, and in those moments, that's when we fall upon the logical kind of linear spiritual development that's always present for us, right? So we're constantly in this kind of like relationship between the two types of love, the love of the tzaddik and the love of the everyman. And I think, right, part of what dawned on me while I was sitting there in the Beis Medrash of Rav Itcher Meir is that this much very much correlates to the pasuk that Rabbi Nachman's bringing down, ki esek shamayim shamata, right? That's the tzaddik's love, right? When I'm dealing in matters of a heavenly matter that's kind of transcended and beyond me, shamata, there's a certain amount of it where God is removed from me, because even whatever I'm experiencing, even though it's way elevated above where I am, it will retract in order to create space for a yet higher place, right? So there's never a place where I can kind of rest on my laurels, so to speak, in that space. I can never kind of feel safe, because there's always a measure of vulnerability, right? And then you have Atzia Sha'al Hineka, right? And that correlates to the everyman, but that when I fall into that place of darkness, right, where I'm not in a state of that illumination, Hineka, you're right here with me, meaning I can rely upon the effort that I put in to kind of stay in a constant relationship with God, because the spiritual development that I've earned, that's logically connected, that is a logical outcome of the work that I put in, will always be there for me. Right? So tzaddik love is transient because it's always in development. right? Spiritual growth, an aspect of spiritual growth, is transient because it's always in development, and therefore I can never kind of like get too comfortable there, because I don't want to get comfortable, because I do want further and further illumination, in the path towards the love of a tzaddik. There's an awareness that like, this is wonderful, but I don't want to sell myself short. I want to be open to new and fresh experiences. And yet I can rely upon, right? And that's where I have like a certain measure of spiritual sustainability, the everyman love, because that's sustained because I earned it, right? I earned it and it's mine. And therefore, right, which is Chanech Lenar Pidak, Gamki Askan Layasar Menu, that it will never leave me. I can always rely upon it, so that I can both be in a state of transient growth, always letting go and having a new and fresh experience. And yet at the same time, I don't have to be in this kind of very violent upheaval every time I'm in a dark space. So what that leads us to is a question of how does one develop everyman love, right? How one develops tzaddik love, that has to do with, right, the tzaddik form of love, right, or spiritual illumination. That's wonderful and great, and we want to learn that, but if we want to be able to build, if we want to have a baki beretzu, a baki b'shov, if we want to be able to succeed even when we're not feeling it, we have to learn how to develop the love of the everyman, right? The love that's there that we can rely upon and sustain. And what's really beautiful is that the Alter Rebbe lays out two very specific and clear directives about how a person does that. And what he says is that there's two, and we alluded to these before, there's two types of spiritual illumination that a person has. One is that spirituality is life. There's no disconnection. That the keystone to a spiritual life is the awareness that there's no disconnection between my spiritual life and my material life. As a person realizes that there's not a dichotomy between what I need to do on a physical plane and what I need to do on a spiritual plane, right? That my physical life happens at work and on the train and at school, and my spiritual life happens in shul or, you know, at the beach, whatever, wherever I go to be spiritual or at a recovery meeting, right? If there's a dichotomy there, right, then it starts to feel like, right, like there's a separation between me and God, or me and my spirituality, me and my higher power. And the key to kind of developing an everyman love, so to speak, or spirituality, is this capacity to realize that no, the same thing that drives you to accomplish in life is a part of you that's looking for God. That the drive that you have to accomplish, to get on the train and go to work, is an impulse towards God. They're not two separate things. Like, I have to set aside my desire to accomplish in this world in order so that I can have spiritual development. They're one and the same. And therefore, I can say, L'shem Yichud, I can set intention at the beginning of my day, not only, right now, obviously there's a, not only for those moments of spirituality, but also for the moments of pursuing materiality, right? That I can, it's vital for me to set intention and to realize, like, if I gain passion in life, that passion, it's not just the setting of intention, but the orientation of an awareness and an attitude about my own internal systems, that everything about me is really driving towards that, towards spirit, you know. And this is reflected in the recovery programs where, you know, people will say things like, I realized at the end of my path that I was looking for God at the bottom of a bottle. You'll hear alcoholics in recovery say things like that. Meaning, and that doesn't mean that they were actually looking for God at the bottom of a bottle. Oftentimes, what they were seeking at the bottom of a bottle was, you know, either like some kind of emotional relief, or maybe even the capacity to pursue physical lusts. But one of the things that's revealed in that process of recovery, and I think that this plays out in all the areas of our lives, is like a certain awareness that like I didn't really want the lustful thing, right? Or I didn't really want, right, this, the person sharing this, right? I didn't really want the relief from emotional distress. What I really wanted was a sense of ease and comfort within my own skin, which is really to feel doim l'Hashem, to be silent in the face of God, to be one with one's essence and thereby one's creator, right? So the first meditation that the Alter Rebbe lays out, that the Tanya lays out, in order to develop this everyman spirituality that can stand with us in those moments of distress, is an awareness that there's not a separation between the two parts of me, a drawing of intention and association to realize that there's no dichotomy in my life. My life is spiritual, and spirituality is about life, right? It's all one system. That's the awareness, right? Okay, the second thing has to do with gratitude, something we discussed on the podcast many times. That the key towards developing the everyman's love, meaning the everyman's spiritual development, is both the awareness of God's place in our lives, right? That he took us out of whatever Mitzrayim we've been in, that he took the Jewish people historically out of Mitzrayim, but also to reflect upon the ways within each day and within each moment and within the broader context of our personal history, moments where we felt the darkest and God was with us and walked through those moments. The awareness of our higher power's presence in those moments of the greatest darkness, and not even just the moments of the greatest darkness, that even when we're not aware of God, right, the spirit of the universe, the essence of everything, the all everything is there with us. That's one type of gratitude, the awareness of what God has done for us, but also the fact that he chooses us. But by dint of the fact that we are on a spiritual journey, God has invited us into relationship with him. And the meditation on that fact, that he wants us, he chooses us, and to reflect deeply on that. So with those two foundation stones, the Alter Rebbe explains that a person can survive and thrive through the ups and downs of our spiritual growth and development, one being an awareness that there's no separation between our material life and our spiritual life, and the other, how fortunate and lucky we are to be loved, cherished, and held by our higher power. Whew, I feel much better now. Anyway, thanks for giving me voice. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining the Consciously family. Consciously is brought to you by The Light Revealed, a social media publisher bringing messages of Jewish spirituality and recovery to whoever is looking for them. Consciously is made possible by the kindness of the Capellius family in memory of Tzipporah Bas Ravaram. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can give us a review and subscribe wherever else you get your podcasts. We love connecting with you, so please check out our website, thelightrevealed.org. Feel free to email us at thelightrevealed@tlrfamily.org. Our producer is Morty Schwartz. Our social media content team is Zoe Poznanski and Tehilo Nassanian. The assistant to the regional co-host is Shmaya Honickman, and our music is by Eitan Katz featuring Zusha. Thank you for joining, and we wish you the most blessed day in only revealed ways.